This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We've now got the lovely matron Mark Aitken in the studio. Matron, how are you this morning?
Oh, Tess.
Very well, thank you, Tess. Great to be here.
Don't let him say that, sister.
My reputation precedes me.
So you have just launched a brand new service called the Midwife and Nurse Support Service.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, the midwives will like you putting their name first, Taz, so thank you.
Oh, is it Nurse and Midwife Support Service?
We are indeed.
Oh, dear me. I don't want to get involved in sort of nursey politics.
Perhaps you could do it interchangeably.
Yeah, okay, that's a great idea. Thanks, Terry.
So as I heard you say earlier this morning, Taz, it's a brand spanking new service launched on the 8th of March this year, and it's a national 24/7 support service for nurses and midwives, our students, and anyone concerned about the welfare of a nurse or a midwife.
Okay, so if I'm concerned about some of my friends who are nurses or midwives, I can just get on the blower and have a conversation and identify strategies to better support them.
Yeah, that's right, Taz. We're a 1-800 number. And we're led by nurse and midwife clinicians who are specifically trained to provide this support, and also trained counsellors. And if you've got a concern or a query or an issue, then you can certainly call our 1-800 number.
And why have you established this service? Where's the need come from?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of us around Australia. There's 370,000 plus nurses and midwives. So,
what?
Yeah. Large
370,000. Yeah. That's larger than most regional cities.
Yeah, we're huge numbers, and
it's almost the size. It's bigger than the size of the Northern Territory.
it's about Hobart, isn't it?
Yeah. No, Tasmania.
All right.
Aren't they about 500,000?
No,
I've got no idea.
So you're thinking, Taz, you should put us all in one place?
No, not at all.
consequently, from time to time, like the rest of the population, nurses and midwives end up with health issues like mental health issues, drug and alcohol problems, chronic health issues like diabetes, or typically for a nurse, particularly musculoskeletal injuries.
What on earth is a musculoskeletal injury?
Come over here and I'll show you. Pick me up.
Is that bad back and stuff?
Why don't you just say
that?
Because I'm a nurse, Taz. I've been trained to, talk the lingo. So nurses and midwives listening will get that. But for the layperson, yes, it's typically a bad back or, muscle strain or muscle injury. And sometimes it's chronic conditions around pain and immobility. And sometimes that impacts people's ability to do their work.
And so how long have you been now operating for about a month, almost a month?
Yeah, almost.
What flavour of calls are you getting? What are the sorts of issues that are emerging?
Interestingly, some of the major calls around bullying and harassment.
Right.
Yeah, and occupational violence is an issue, particularly with the ICE epidemic and people who are experiencing the effects of ICE entering emergency departments. They're often paying out on healthcare professionals. Drug and alcohol issues, mental health issues like anxiety and depression, and and as I said, chronic health issues.
Because I only come in here every now and then, I get to ask the nasty questions. Taz has got to keep the conversation going. This is an initiative of the Nursing and Midwifery Board of Australia.
Yes, that's right.
Under the national legislation, and I should declare that I'm on the regional board of the psychology board, there's an obligation on health practitioners to report other health practitioners
yes.
who have impairments that would make their practice of the profession unsafe, basically. Do you just want to talk a bit about how the Nursing and Midwifery Board sees that reconciling with nurses ringing up and saying, I've got an ice problem?
Great question, Terry.
Sorry, yeah. but it is because I know the board
Great
that I'm
question,
part of
Terry.
Has thought of the same issue, and it's really hard to think it through.
Yeah, well, it is a good question, Terry. Thanks for asking it.
I was allowed to.
That's it, Terry. No more from you.
So as registered nurses and midwives, we have a professional obligation, a requirement, to mandatorily report ourselves or a colleague that we believe has a health impairment. Now, that may be a drug and alcohol issue, maybe sexual misconduct, or it may be another health issue that is going to prevent you from practicing the profession. Now, clearly, some of those people lose insight at the point of being able to self-report, but often it's the general public who have concerns or another healthcare professional. So our service is at arm's length from the regulator, but it's funded by Nursing and Midwifery Registration through the Nursing and Midwifery Board of Australia. Yeah, so if we didn't do it that way, people would think we were going to report every nurse or midwife.
That's what I was worried about. And what's its relationship with the ANF? Because in some ways what you're talking about are things that would traditionally have been conceived of as being union functions.
Yeah, the ANMF
Who's the ANMF?
The Australian Nursing Midwifery Federation.
And I'm in and big trouble. I left the M out.
Right. And that is your union?
Yeah, that's our industrial organisation, effectively the union. They've been very strong supporters of the program. You may or may not know that Victoria has had a program in place for 10 years under a case management model. And so while the ANMF don't fund this program, they do support the program.
Because the sorts of examples you gave as some of your main examples, harassment and bullying in the workplace, are in many ways, not the effect they have on the individual, you know what I mean? I say that as different, but as systemic issues, they are very much ANMF type issues.
Well, they're industrial in some ways, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they very much cross over. And so if you've got an industrial issue around workplace bullying and you're going through a process and the union are supporting you through that process, connected to that you may well have a health issue. And so that's where our service comes in, because we can support a nurse or a midwife with a health issue related to that process.
So let's talk a bit more about the support. In a modern environment, there will be younger people who actually don't like to actually pick up a phone and make a phone conversation. Can you provide a service online, for example?
Yeah, we have an interactive website too, Taz.
An interactive website.
Yes. That means you can email us and get a response within 24 hours. Or you can search, as you say.
So you've got a database
people.
As well on
we
your
do.
Website?
We have a big database.
Do you have web chat?
We don't have web chat, but that's a good
point.
That'd
be handy in the long run.
Interesting, if you look at an organisation like Headspace, they actually don't provide telephone counselling because their customer base only want web chat counselling.
Yeah.
Now, if you're talking about an older cohort, they will probably want to get on the blower, so to speak.
Yeah, I think having an eclectic range of services and ways to be able to provide that service is really important. So, therefore, the 1-800 number, ringing up, having a chat. I mean, nurses and midwives love a chat, Taz.
Yeah, okay.
Chat's good. But
yeah, it
the
is
basic
good.
Theory, yeah. Behind modern communications sort of stuff is you let the user have the choice of channel.
Yes.
You don't constrain them to the channel you want to use.
Yes.
You say any channel that feasibly we can make available, we'll use that.
So you need to broaden your channels.
Well, this is very good feedback, and certainly part of my role as a stakeholder engagement project officer is to gather this sort
what
of
a
information.
Title. What a title, matron.
It's called recanalisation, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, Terry.
So one more question. Is the support that you provide episodic or is it ongoing?
Yeah, so it's brief intervention counselling, support resources and referral pathways.
Okay, so you can't actually call and get the same person back on the phone next time.
You could potentially ask to speak to that person, but it's usually a brief intervention process.
So it's a one-off.
Yeah, well, not necessarily, because you can ring more than once, but it's not case management.
Get it. Okay. So that's actually an important distinction for a lot of people, because sometimes people want to stop and start the conversation,
yes.
Go away, think about it, maybe do some reflection, do some homework, and then come back again. So, look, before we do go, how do prospective nurses, midwives, their friends, their families, their lovers, and people who care about them call your support service?
So pick up the phone if you need support and call 1-800-667-877 or nmsupport.org.au.
Mark, thank you very much for coming into the studio. It's great to hear about the services that are available for people who work very closely with our communities.
Thanks, Taz. Appreciate it.
Listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.